Aloha, and welcome to Goddess Alchemy and Divine Magic. I'm your cosmic guide and host, Charlotte Sivak, transmitting to you live from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. You just heard our beautiful beginning music, our new song, Shiva Shakti, from Patrick Bernard. His music is just so beautiful, and I can't stop listening to it. And if you want to know more about him, you can visit him at www.patrickbernard.com, and you can listen to this song, Shiva Shakti, from his Chakra Celebration CD. Now, we are really delighted that you are joining us here today for this yummy awakening magic cosmic hour, where we're going to enjoy the nectar of life as we actualize heaven on earth, experiencing your vastness, expanding the collective consciousness with amazing synchronicities, all the while as we dare you to be the masterpiece you were created to be. And now today, with our fantastic wild card lineup of a, multidimensional, multi-layered, action-packed show, we never know what is going to be happening as we plan it moment to moment, which we will definitely guarantee that we are going to spark your creativity, infusing you all with infinite possibilities and helping you to awaken the magical divine child. So let's all be daring and risk living in divine cosmic ecstasy. Now, today is a very special show for me, as I really wanted to focus on gratitude and grace. And these last few months have been so incredibly transformative for so many of us, where we've been feeling so overwhelmed with all the energies that have been happening, with all these incredible astrological lineups. And, of course, now what we have coming up is the 12-12-12, and, of course, our solstice, our winter solstice, which is coming up in a few weeks, which some say is the end of the Mayan calendar. But, you know, it is what it is. As far as we knew, the Mayan calendar ended in October of 2011. And this whole year has been just helping us to really anchor in all those energies that we had that we were going through with acceleration last year, and to really help us to step into this space of grace and to be really fully embodied with our energies and to really help to create heaven on earth. I find one of the best ways to do it is through gratitude. And we have a very special guest that's going to be on our show that I'll be introducing to you in a few minutes, who I hold very close to my heart, because about 15 years ago, he changed my life when I met him. And because of this incredible gentleman, I'm on the path where I am. He just basically opened the door and pushed me through the door and said, "You can do it." And I've always held him dear in my heart for that. And it is such a blessing and such a, it's so inspirational for me to have him come onto my radio show, Goddess Alchemy and Divine Magic, and to have him here and to share him with you, because he's such a lovely man. And he's been such an incredible inspiration, and I have so much gratitude, because I wouldn't be living the life that I have now and creating and really moving forward if I hadn't have met him and he pushed me through the door. So I really want to introduce you to, and I'll give you his bio first. His name is Stan Mallow, and he is just such an incredible dynamo. He has a very extensive background in the field of paranormal and is the founder and curator of the Niagara Falls Traveling Museum of the Paranormal, a museum that houses one of the world's largest collections of paranormal artifacts. This includes a miraculous healing crystal skull that he has been forming healing circles with for over 10 years. They've been amazing. I've been to several of them. He's also a well-respected psychic consultant and ghost hunter, and he has been featured guest on a number of radio and TV shows and has been written about in countless publications. Along with his partner, Ray Fulcher, they organize numerous psychic fairs each year that feature gifted international psychic readers, mediums, and clairvoyants. In addition, they do advanced Curlin aura photography at selected fairs, expos, and special events. Stan is also the host of Paranormal, a top-rated show on Cogeco TV in Canada that is now in its third season. He has also been very fortunate enough to have worked on the public relations of A-list celebrities such as Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton, and Warren Beatty, as well as the Lincoln Center Film Festival and Tony Award-winning Broadway shows such as Cabaret, Company, Zorba, Chicago, and Fiddler on the Roof. Stan has made a number of show business friends throughout the years, friends who seek out his psychic advice relating to their career and their personal lives. You can find him at www.paranormalniagara.com or his other website, which is www.e-psychic.com. Without further ado, I would love to introduce you to one of the most amazing men I know in my life, Stan Mallow. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Absolutely love it, and thank you for inviting me. And next time I come on, I'll have to add to my bio of A-listers, Charlotte Sivak, for sure.
You're so cute. Oh, Stan, you have such an incredible bio, and I mean, I've known you for years, and it just, you always amaze me with everything that you have done, and not even just what you've done, but how humble you are about it. It is such a beautiful thing, and it's been so inspirational for me as well, too, and I'm sure for the countless people that you've also met. I also want to thank you for also inviting me onto your show, which we did a taping of a few months ago, which was really a fun evening as well, too.
Oh, it was absolutely great. You were a wonderful guest, and in fact, by popular demand, not only myself, but a lot of people in the audience says, when are you going to have it back again? So after this show, we'll have to talk this over when you're going to be my guest. And a lot of people out there want to hear you again.
So honored. Thank you so much. I really don't know where to start because I figured that gratitude was such a phenomenal way to open this up today, too, for all of us, because we all meet people along our lives that, you know how they have that saying, you have a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And it's incredible how you can meet somebody for 5 minutes and they impact your life for the rest of your life. And I'm in a space where I'm really grateful meeting you all those years ago when you were just saying, what are you doing? Why aren't you just stepping into it and owning it and just doing it? And you changed my life. And I'm really glad that I took that leap.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
No, I'm very humbled by everything that you had said, but the energy, even at a young age, everything was radiating from you. It was almost like electricity coming at you. I mean, you had it from the get-go. It was just a matter of you realizing it yourself. And obviously, it's like wine, and it's time, you know. When you were ready for it, you were ready for it. But you always had it.
Why, thank you so much. You have such an extensive background. Where did you find... I was going to say, what would have been your favorite? But I would probably think that you enjoyed every single one of them and lived in the moment. But maybe a memory that sparks or anything that you can think of that brings to you what was really exciting for you as well with everything that you've done?
That's a good question. I'm not sure how I'm going to be asking that because everybody that I had met along the way, they all had something special. But I think this is something you could probably associate with it also. One of the things that I loved was opening nights of Broadway shows, which, you know, in time had become classics, but when they did, you didn't know that. But you sort of felt it. You felt the energy. You felt the electricity. It was just there. Broadway openings is something that I felt wonderful about that stands out. And certain people at the beginning of their career, like, you know, Barbara Streisand, or having that Judy Garland in person towards, you know, the end over there. These
right.
people who are like megastars now, and to have been around them, I think was wonderful. But if you think about memories on something, maybe this is unusual. At the very end of her career, Marlene Dietrich, who was like one of the classic actresses, singers mm-hmm. around, towards the end of her career, she was doing a one-woman show in New York, and I was fortunate to be involved in the public relations of that. And one thing I had found out, you're not going to read this in any book at all, was she loves to play for people a record of all the applause that she gets because she was known for getting a lot of standing ovations. And she would know, well, here I was in this city and I got 10 standing ovations. This one I have 15, that I have 10. So that
wow.
comes to mind. I don't know if that's what you're expecting, but you're talking about unusual things. That's something that stands out, listening to a long playing record, because they had records then, of Marlene Dietrich. And she knew, God bless her, she knew every show and this was the standing ovation there and that standing ovation there. So that's a memory that stays with you.
How incredible. And when you were doing the Broadway shows, was that when your psychic ability had sparked or sparked before, or did you apply any of it or use any of it at that time as well?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, number one, like you, I think I probably always knew that I had it, and I did have it. But, you know, it's funny in life, you know, where the roads take you. Sometimes you get into something through the back door, not thinking that, you know, where you're going to be winding up. Because me, I loved public relations. I loved it from when I was in university. I was a member of the theater group there. But what I loved was doing the campaigns that would bring people into the theater. I liked that more than being on stage for something like that. But the thing was, it was just something you always did and you always knew it. But it was strange, and you could associate with people in show business. A lot of people there are intuitive, and they feel, you know, for intuitive people and things like that. And it was just once people knew that I was, you know, able to do readings, then before I even knew it, you know, named people, you know, were coming to me. Should I do this song? Should I do that movie? Should I do that play? So it was really something that wasn't my main career, but eventually I wound up in this. So it was like a part-time fun thing for me that I enjoyed doing, a gift that I had. And like you, I like sharing it and helping people with it. So that was pretty much the way that it was. And, you know, once somebody knows that you have a gift, you know, suddenly you were invited to parties and people are asking you this and that. So I sort of got in it in a strange way, but maybe that was the way it was meant to be.
I have to say, too, a few years ago, I was blessed enough to be in the movie Hairspray with John Travolta. And I remember when I had landed that role, how you surprised me, how you had given me as a gift the actual program from Broadway. That was so incredible. I have it actually.
You remember that? You
wall.
Like that? Yeah. I mean, I had it. If anyone was going to have it, it had to be given to you.
And then we had that great time when we went to the opening. Remember the premiere for the movie?
Oh, that was absolutely wonderful. And again, thank you so much for inviting me to that. That was great.
Oh, well, that was just so kind of you to give me that. That was, it meant so much. And when did you start with your paranormal collecting? How did that start? How did you get onto that?
Okay, I was a young, and ever since I could remember as a young kid, I was always fascinated with the unknown, with the field of paranormal. And I said, you know, buying things, you know, some kids, you know, they make some money delivering newspapers or something like that, be able to buy some baseball cards. I bought an occult curiosity. And there was a place in New York, Samuel Wise, or Wise Books. They're out of New York now, they're still publishers. I used to go down there. It was fascinating looking over the books and different things like that. And I, you know, and as I got older, I started collecting more and more and more. And it's one of those things that took on a life on its own. And I have to have a little warehouse for it now. So, I mean, it really took me over with that. Always fascinating. And I love different forms of divination and things that have some historical significance to it when it comes to the field of the occult or the paranormal. And because just about everything I has a history to it, has a story to it. And I'm just fascinated how different people have different methods of divination, whatever country they are in, mm-hmm. whatever the culture is. The bottom line is different roads would lead to the same place, and that is the truth.
Which one stands out the most to you out of all the different countries that you have or the different divination tools?
Oh, wow, that's a good one. Okay, I got to tell you, two things. One, that's something that I really love, and one that's quite unusual that I stay away from, okay? I'm going to give you the yin and the yang. One, at the turn of the last century, seances were extremely, extremely popular. Late 1890s, early 1900s. And I have an original seance table. There's only a few of them in existence, to my best knowledge. And I have one in perfect condition. And every so often, I would get together with some people.
Oh,
and
wow.
Put the fingers on them. And yes, and in fact, that's something I think you may like. One time, if you're interested in trying that like that. Then I have something
Oh, it's actually funny that you say that, because the radio show that I work on, morning show that I do their psychic stuff on, they asked me to do a seance for one of the football stadiums here when they were tearing it down, and to see what the ghosts of the football past had to say about the building being torn down.
Wow. That's amazing. And the other thing that goes, I have a curiosity, which I thought this would be a great addition to it, and it's buried right now. Basically, you know Aleister Crowley?
Yes. And yes, for those of you who aren't familiar with Aleister Crowley, he was, I can't think of right now, it just escapes me. Can you fill the blank in for that for me?
Sure. He was born in the late 1800s in England. He was a head mason. He was also the head priest of the Golden Dawn, which was a paranormal type or occult type group. And depending which biography you read of him, he's either reincarnate of Satan, he's a 666 beast, or he's this incredible, incredible occultist.
Oh, wow.
That. So he had a very, very strange life and a memorable life. Like, you know, some people accused him of all kinds of horrible things, and other ones praised him. But again, is you're dealing with a time where there was some jealousy on things, and people say things, and then you couldn't have, like, the internet to say, no, this is not true.
Right.
You know, you had to deal with whatever you had to deal with. But he did have this powerful energy, and one of the things he had was this special scrying mirror, which I was able to get at auction quite a few years ago.
Wow.
And I said, wow. Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Wow. And whoever
I showed it
to...
But is this the piece you said that kind of scares you?
That is it exactly correct. I had to put it away. In that, I put different psychics, good psychics like yourself, by that, and they would touch it and like start to shake and feel all of this energy going from that, to put it away. So it was at that point, and a few people said maybe until the time is right for it to come out again, just to put it away. So it's been like quite a few years now. It's just away, and when the time is right, I'll take it out too. So as
wow.
You know, when you have powers and stuff like that, if they can't be harnessed, they can't be controlled, you have
right.
to be very, very careful with it.
But we also know, too, that energy can't be destroyed, but it can be transformed. So maybe
Absolutely.
Now, too, with 2012 and us shifting with the polarity of releasing all the negative energies and transmuting it to light and to the golden age might be coming up soon.
Oh, very well. As you know, everybody is feeling it. You know, you speak to people and left and right, they're going to tell you something is going on, something
yeah.
is happening. Yeah, there's going to be a big awakening.
So what would you say would be your prized, if you have a prized possession out of your whole entire collection?
Okay, that's got to be one that I love to share, and that is my little crystal skull, which I've had countless healing circles with, which happily you brought in your energy to that, along with your own crystal skull. With
yes.
that, and
I've been so honored.
What I love is, and again, I never get feedback until we come back another 6 months or a year to another fair or expo where, you know, people who have partook of the healing circle come back and they say, wow, it, you know, whatever was wrong with them is better, or when they send after healing to somebody, you know, it was sent to them. And as you know, I'm also working on a book on that, and that is something I'm gonna have to say, hey, it's enough already. Because whenever I think this is good, oh, I think about something else. So I'm getting encouraged just speaking to you now. I know that the time is coming now. It's got to be this year or next year where I'm gonna say, you know, enough already. This is it. It has to go out there. And if anything, I'll have another book after that. Because so many amazing things have happened with the crystal skull. That's incredible. And as you know yourself, working with a crystal skull, the
oh,
energies
yeah.
that to come with it. And, of
and
course,
writing, too. As I remember writing a piece for you for it as well, too, which I was so honored.
Oh, I'm very, very happy that you had, you know, written about it. And obviously, that would be, you know, with your permission, of course, which I have, to put it into the book, too. And I'm really happy that I'm speaking with you now, Charlotte, because I got to tell you that. This is, I know what my New Year resolution is going to be. No excuses. I know my New Year resolution before it's the new year.
Well, that's incredible. And well, now, too, as we're going into this really sacred time of the solstice, that is coming up in just a few weeks. This is really a time of magic that we're stepping into, that you can create anything. I always find those 3 days after winter solstice are so incredibly powerful. And the only thing that I feel kind of sad about is so many people miss it because they're going to all these parties and drinking and having a good time, and they totally miss one of the most sacred times of the year. I'm just hoping that more enlightenment comes to that. But, of course, this year, everybody's going to be focusing on that day because we all know how big this date is. And I'd like to ask you, how did this skull find you? How did you meet with this skull? How did it come into your guardianship?
Okay, I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version of it, because what is in the book, you know, to be continued with that. Okay, it was really a voyage. It was an adventure. It was over many, 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 many years where things had happened, where I was guided here through dreams, et cetera, and going to different places. And once, I think it was with Hawaii, New Mexico. I went to different places, and each one was like pieces of a puzzle till it all came together. So it was in a few steps. One, of course, was acquiring the crystal skull, which was something that took me over a number of years because I thought I would find it there. Then I found it there. Then I found it there. But eventually, after a few years, I had gotten it. And, you know, anybody, and I'm sure you can relate to this too, you think you have something, but how do you know it is what you think it is?
Yeah.
So what I did was I given it over to a number of, you know, psychics, intuitives that I feel, you know, very strongly about, such as yourself, and had it holding it, not saying anything about it, the history of it, or anything going on with that there, and invariably 100% of people said, picking up the healing energies of that. So I knew that. That was step two. So step one was acquiring it. Step two, getting acknowledgement from people in the field, from the mediums and psychics, et cetera, that I have something that has healing energies to it. And the third one, of course, was to put it into practice by forming healing circles. And enough has happened over the years to know, hey, it works, and that's what I've been doing. And as you know, I've been, you know, very closed with it, basically, with certain groups and with your encouragement. You said, you know, you were grateful to me. Well, right now I got to say for everybody to hear there, I am grateful to you to give me the initiative to go out there and to do it, to go for it. I've got it there and do something about it. So I thank you.
You scratch my back, I scratch yours. It's a
win-win situation.
And did you ever have this skull, because I know that you also had some dealings also, too, with the Mitchell Hedges skull as well. Did you ever have these two skulls meet?
I would have loved to have had it. I thought it was going to happen quite a few years ago. I had brought it in Kitchener, and at the time, Anna Mitchell Hedges was living in Kitchener, and she came over to visit with a contingent of people over there.
How remarkable.
There was a lot of buzz over there saying, oh, wow, wow, wow. Oh, look, Anna Mitchell Hedges, wow. And everybody thought, including myself, oh, it's going to be related to my crystal skull. But nothing was said, and then about a few weeks later, I received a letter on official stationery, not from her, but one of the, I guess, people who are from her group or represented her, saying I should cease and desist, because what I did was I had homage to crystal skulls, you know, in Paris. You know, there were various crystal skulls. Mitchell Hedges is not the only crystal skull there. You know, to cease and desist that I had, because I had a photo of it there, and said, you know, if you just by looking at it, which is true, meditating on it, wonderful things could happen. Now, the thing was, I bought the rights for that. Going back, we're going to meander now since you asked me the question. I had bought the rights of that photo, which was given by Anna Mitchell Hedges, so I could have displayed it anywhere. But I figured I'm not going to have any problem with that, because to me, she was a very sweet, sweet person. But unfortunately, at that point in time, I guess she was on in years, and there were those who were controlling. And I think, I could be wrong, but speaking to enough people, they might think that's the only crystal skull that there is. And as you know, that's not so. So that's very, very sad. There are other crystal skulls, people who have been to my healing circles and wanted to put me in contact with other people. And it seems to be there's a lot of ego going on, a lot of protectionism, And to me, if we all put our crystal skulls out together, how glorious that would be. That's why I like it. And, you know, when you have time, you know, to join my circles, you bring your crystal skull there, and more people are starting to do that, because whereas one person singing is glorious, an entire chorus, you know, is so much better, so much stronger. So that's my goal. That's my hope, that ego get out of this. And, you know, I have the only true spiritual skull, or, you know, there's no other crystal skull, and this is the best. That it just becomes silly, because to me, if it's on the earth and it does such wonderful, special things, it should be shared.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's so amazing, too, because you introduced me as well to the crystal skulls. And I remember the first time that we had done a healing circle, how powerful it was and the images that I got from it and how much it had shifted. And then, of course, years later, when I had received my own guardianship of my crystal skull as well, that came from Brazil, has just been so remarkable what... Well, she had also shown me, her name is actually Maya Mayan, and she had told me that she was completely balanced in her masculine and the feminine, so in truth, it was androgynous, and the images and the sacredness and the, we've traveled with her everywhere, from Hawaii to even to the temples in Mexico, where we had some really extraordinary events happen with her, where we were led into... And I have never talked about this live on the air yet, into a new Mayan city that was being built that hasn't even been acknowledged yet. So it was just incredible. And to, again, be led down just by having the experiences with you as well is incredible. And then after that, you started to, or I shouldn't say after that, but when did you decide to start putting on the fairs and the psychic expos? How did that come about? How did you birth that?
Okay, let me go back to show business with you too, okay? Background school going with over there. You know, sometimes you see the old, you know, Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney movies. I mean, you would not have seen it first time around, maybe on TV for sure. You know, hey, we could do that, and they set up a little thing in the garage, or who knows what it is, and of course it's a big thing. It was just about, I've always been fascinated with this, visiting shows and seeing certain things that I didn't like, certain things happening, certain things going on. And, you know, sometimes people will get together and say something. Anyway, somebody should do something. But I decided, I'm going to be that someone to do it. So we did it, totally honorably ethical, having ethical people like yourself there, having zero tolerance for silliness and giving the people what they want, because, you know, it may be corny, makes no difference if it's a restaurant or a clothing store or the psychic fair. A satisfied client is going to be your best advertisement. And so we went into that with total respect for the public. And it's been our motto, if you will. It's always been from the get-go that people are right. If somebody complains, you resolve it. No one's going to complain for nothing, for naught, you know?
Exactly.
That. So basically, it was just visiting it, it wasn't even in my mind there, and I was saying, gee whiz, I'd like to see this, I'd like to see that. I mean, there has to be ethics, there has to be honor, there has to be respect for people. So basically, you know, it's like, you know, you try a food or a cake or whatever, gee whiz, maybe I should add this, that, and you make up your own recipe, and it's what you want it to be. So it was just respecting the whole, the entire ambience of it, of respecting the fairs, the psychics, the public, because to me it's a win-win situation when everybody wins. I get a lot of people through the door, I'm happy. The exhibitors, they get a lot of clients, and most importantly of all, the clients are happy, and they come, you know, tell their friends, and they come back again there, and that's good when everybody wins.
And you've been doing this now for over 20 years.
I'd like to say I was a teenager when I started, but that would not be true.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, you are helping so many people, and you don't even realize it because it's just because of an action. And it's amazing how, again, here we go, a reason, a season, or a lifetime, how one person, even two, if they are behind the scenes, how much they can impact so many people, thousands of people. It's just incredible. So,
and again, going back to show, no, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go right ahead, because I was just going to say that, too, with the show business. you have that background as well.
Somebody in the background. But the wonderful thing about public relations is most people don't realize it. They think of a manager. They don't know what public relations is. Public relations, of course, is, I shouldn't say of course, though, because most people aren't aware of that there, is when you get it out there that, you know, you must see this show, you must do that. If somebody gets involved in, say, a relationship that's giving them bad press, you do something to rectify it. And I learned very early about it. And in fact, if you look at the original, the cover of the original Broadway show, Cabaret, Joel Grey was just, you know, like nothing. He was nobody. And all the other people in the show there thought for sure they would not dare make a movie without them. As it turned, through good public relations, getting him on talk shows and things like that, he's the only one from the original Broadway shows of Cabaret who got into the movie with it. So I'm always fascinated with public relations of images, of doing things, of, you know, what I find strange is now when you, you know, check out of the supermarket and you see all these newspapers. I know there's gossip newspapers there.
Oh, the Inquirers, and all the Angie, rag magazines.
You know, Angie and this one and that one there. Well, 20 years ago, it was Liz and Dick. Years before that, it was somebody else and somebody else. I mean, it's nothing new. You know, maybe we have new technology and stuff like that. But I always have to chuckle when I pass by these newspapers and see the headline. I say, well, just erase this name and that name, and that's it. You know, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, people don't question it, or they should sometimes. Well, you know, somebody's having a movie, and all of a sudden, it's a great romance between them, and somehow it fizzles afterwards. Well, it's good publicity, you know.
And how PR, they just had to, I think it was on the Life Network, where they actually did Elizabeth Taylor's story with Lindsay Lohan starring in that. Did you have a chance to see that or know anything about it?
No, I don't get the station. It was called Dick and Liz. I did not get a chance to see it. The reviews on it were not too good. But then again, I'm somebody who probably would never be a critic, but I'm sure there's got to be something in some performance that you like. That's why I don't like when critics, you know, tear this one and tear that down. She was really torn down. They said she was more like a Long Island housewife than her, and something, some of it, you know, was laughable. I don't know. I didn't see it. I wouldn't comment, but I'm sure there had to be something in it.
Well, I was thinking, the perspective that because you had actually worked with her, or had done for her PR, so how that would have affected you as well.
Yeah, but also, well, talking about her anyway, you know, when you think about Liz, you know, Dick and Liz, you know?
Yeah.
That one I know is the one thing, you know, she hated it. Richard Burton always called her Elizabeth. People knew it says Elizabeth. She hated with a passion, Liz. And whenever, you know, you hear talk on radio or TV or newspapers, there's always Liz Taylor, Liz Taylor. So that's some Liz Taylor, or Elizabeth Taylor trivia.
For those of you listening.
She was Elizabeth. Yep.
Wow. And then leading into your TV show, I mean, this is so incredible. You're so multifaceted and multi-talented. What do you do in your spare time?
I should ask you the
same question.
Do you
have any spare time?
Well, I'm somebody like you. I love what I do. And when you love what you do, the clock means nothing, you know?
It's so true. It's not work at all.
And you talk about gratitude. You started off the program with talking about gratitude. Yeah, I feel very blessed, wonderful where life has taken me. And I guess in my more senior years, as I'm getting on over there, I realized how I lucked out at such a young age. Because, you know, oh, gee whiz, I know this one and that one. And, you know, it was all there. But sometimes you don't realize it when you're that young and all these things are happening. So I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for everything that's happened to me. And sort of like you, you're a good soul, a good heart.
Thank you. It's really, that's a big love fest today. And so how did the TV show come about? How did you birth that?
Mm-hmm.
When you started your paranormal TV show, Paranormal Niagara. And once again, we're on God Has Helped Me in Divine Magic with Stan Mallow from www.paranormalniagara.com or e-psychic.com. Now, when you started your TV show, how did that come about?
Again, just the way things worked out. When I got into the psychic world, being in public relations first, I was contacted by the TV station itself, because I have somewhat of a decent reputation, and they asked me if I wanted to do it. And, that would be good, too. But then I said, well, I can't do it on the weekends, because, you know, as most of our shows are on weekends.
Yeah.
With that there. So happily, they agreed, you know, to do it on a Wednesday. And I'm happy the way it's gone. Because originally, well, you know, the paranormal is supposed to be, you know, with UFOs and ghosts, which is great, too. But I figured, I know some wonderful psychics like yourself. Why not bring it to psychics with them? And now that's become so popular that I have to have readings on every show, just about. Or if I have another type of a guest, I have to bring in some readings.
You must have the phones ringing off the hook.
Happily, yes. The people in the station, I don't know if they're that happy about it, but that's a good thing. I'm telling them to get in more lines with that. But in life, you never know. Just like I never sought out to do anything like this. I didn't approach anybody. I had no interest in doing it. And, you know, they asked me, and that's great. The same thing is when I've gone on spirit hunts and things like that. People have come to me about that, because I also do spirit photography, as you know. Or you may not
yes,
know.
Yes, please
know.
Tell I'm us a little bit about this as well.
Erlin
photography.
There's two things. Aura photography, of course, as you know, we're not just physical beings, we are spiritual beings.
Yes.
We're much more than the person we see in the mirror, and it is a scientific fact, that every living being is surrounded with an electric magnetic energy field. That is indeed our aura, and we know that every color, combination of colors, location means different things, sort of like our spiritual DNA. And again, the way we got involved with that was quite simply we wanted to put something into our show that would be different. And a lot of people may have aura photography. We've invested a small fortune in research and development to have one that's really exclusive to us. And it's so wonderful when people could see what they look like with your aura, with the energy field around them. And it's wonderful when orbs show up, or they see loved ones, figures around them, or objects around them. So, you know,
I've actually suggested many people to go to you for this, especially when they come, when they've had an animal that has passed, and how they've even seen, like, the outlines of the animals passing their ears or whatever. It's just unbelievable how detailed, and actually how detailed your report is as well, too. It's just amazing.
It's true what you said, because I know you're an animal communicator, too, and the answer is yes. And a lot of people say, you know, do animals have souls? Do they pass on? Are they going to have a soul? Are they going to be there? And yes, because recently we were at a show, and this dear lady was very, very close with her dog. Most people are very close with their animals, but this was specifically the dog, who was like the only one in her life at this point in time that she had a companionship, and she was wondering, if somehow or another it would show up. Obviously, we have no control over that. Well, it was wonderful. I'm glad we did that. We put a screen out in front so people could see for themselves as the aura is being picked up by the by the whole system that we're doing with that there. And there was a little image of this little doggy that was going to come here, and a friend said they see it there, and it came across there. Needless to say, there were tears, but there were tears of joy to know that even though her beloved animal is not with her, you know, in this world, it's going to be with her in the other world.
How incredible! So you must have had some really amazing reuniting happening in your aura booth.
yes. And the thing is, like, you never know. As an example, this is not done, in fact, at the Kitchener. We have this woman, her husband, and a little girl, maybe 10, 11 years old, coming to have their aura photos taken. And we say, great. First one to have the aura photo taken is the little girl. And when the photo comes out, we see, not maybe or could be, but very clearly you see this man standing over her with his hands on her shoulders. You can make out his features, you can see his clothing, etc. Now I'm not Now I'm not gonna tell a little 10 or 11 year old girl, there's a ghost or a spirit around you. I said, sorry, young lady, it didn't come out, we'd have to retake it. So while it's being retaken, I go over to the mother and father and I say, would there be a reason why someone from the other side would want to be around your daughter? And the mother naturally asked me why. I showed her the photo, and she almost fainted. As it turned out, The woman I was speaking to was indeed the biological mother of the little girl. The man was not the husband. He was the boyfriend. But the man in the photo was the biological father of the little girl who died of a massive heart attack when she was 1 year old.
Oh, wow.
I know, and a lot of people came around and they thought, and they said, oh, wow, why didn't you keep it? I know, I believe in karma. And no, somebody came from the other side to show themselves that. So I gave it to the mother and said, you hold on to this, and if at some time in the future your little girl wonders about her dad, show her the photo. He's still there with her. So
what an incredible story.
And, you know, and it's all a validation that, you know, it's not over when it's over, you know. Unlike that Peggy Lee song, who was another client. You know, is that all there is? No, there's more.
How amazing. There's so many stories that we could get into with all the healing and the reuniting and how the messages that come across from the spirits on the other side are so remarkable and so beautiful, especially when they can materialize in such a clear, etheric way that you can see them. And with this, what a beautiful experience. Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, my pleasure to share it. I find myself sharing more things with you now. You're very good than I thought I would be talking about, but hey, you're a good communicator.
Why, thank you. It's incredible how to open up about it. It is. It's time. It's time people hear and know about it, too. And like you said, too, because we're not just physical beings, and we've been living in such a holographic universe where so many people are driven by what they see on TV or the illusion of what's going on around you. I mean, Hollywood is a really good example. And I find it so interesting with you having a background in Hollywood, myself as well, too, how it actually helped to be able to see past the illusion and the glamour of Hollywood to see how it can also help you to showcase and to present the psychic world in a much more entertaining, non-fear-based way. And people really truly get the messages that they need and the help that they need or the comfort. And it's amazing how nothing in your life is ever wasted. Every opportunity is always it's always an opportunity for lessons and for growth. So don't ever waste wherever you are or whatever experiences that you're going through, because it is what it makes you in the end, and it's just amazing.
I agree with you totally.
Yeah.
And what you're talking about also about your illusion, et cetera, these were a problem of a lot of people in show business, some of whom I knew, that when they meet somebody, whoever is with them, they're in love with the persona that they see on the screen and not the real person, and sometimes it doesn't work out because they are somebody else, you know.
Yeah, we saw that this summer, of course, with that whole drama that was surrounding that whole Twilight series, with how everybody was so upset with the character or misaligning that the character was the actress. And it was such an incredible lesson on so many levels for so many people. It was just unbelievable. So, like you say,
it's almost like back to the Middle Ages. You think, you know, we're getting more sophisticated. Things are going to change, and sometimes they don't change. I mean, if we're down in Salem at a certain time, she'd probably be stoned.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, I found so interesting with doing readings, I mean, I myself have been doing them for years now, and I have thousands of readings. And what interested me was that a couple times I would get images of people from past lives where they had been like in Egypt or in Avalon or Lemuria. And the images were so interesting because even then, too, they had, in essence, the same concerns where they would ask questions related to spirituality or work or love. And it doesn't matter through what time or era that you live in, there always were those questions. And I found that to be really fascinating. So it's really incredible how this ties in all the different eras and all the different lessons. And like you were saying earlier, too, with your paranormal museum, all the artifacts that you have from the different eras. Do you have any from Egypt?
Oh, yes, indeed, I do. I have a few things there. One, I have the Scepter of Horus amulet. It was considered to be the most powerful in all ancient Egypt, some years ago was discovered on an archaeological dig in Alexandria. And it has
I'll
have to show it to you sometime. It has every sign on it that it was holy and had power and energy to it, and a limited number of them were made. And I, of course, opened up when I heard about that. So I have it. So I'm going to bring it to one of our shows, and just, you'll just hold it. You'll feel, wow.
It's called that'd be amazing.
The forest amulet. And they also have a special Atlantean wand that's pretty cool. It works as, it's a wand, but it works like a dowsing instrument, and you get answers to it, and it's like incredible.
Have you ever taken pictures with the Aura camera of some of the artifacts that you have?
No, and let me tell you why. Okay, good question for that. One, it's not the camera that photographs the Aura. In fact, if you go to a show and somebody's
using
a camera to photograph the Aura, it's a simulator. Like, just like you can't go to a doctor and say, take my pulse, have to be connected to your wrist. So it's a whole system. When you place your fingers on a biosensor that picks up the electromagnetic energy field, which is what the Aura is, brings in the computer, analyzes, and last but not least is the photograph. Now, there are systems for capturing objects, and I might get one of those down. The reason I have never gotten that one is because it sends so much electricity, it could do damage to a human being, and you definitely want to have repeat customers. You don't want to do anything that's going to eliminate them with it. Yeah, that would be cool. But what I have found fascinating is when before and after photos, when people have held certain artifacts in their hand, how it goes. And going back to what you had said related to animals, this woman was very angry, very upset, but when we took a photo with her holding her dog, hope it changed. It's incredible. Yes, people have energy, they radiate energy, and you got to remember what the electromagnetic field is. The key is magnetic. I mean, there's somebody you may meet and they look great, you know, they're nice, but you just want to go away from them. Others, you want to get closer to them. That's the source of the magnetic field.
Incredible. You have such an incredible background, and it has been such a pleasure to have you on our show. Stan, what do you have coming up? I know we're going into the holiday season now, but do you have any shows or any special events that are coming up in the coming weeks, or are we looking now into 2013?
We are looking into 2013, getting ready, working very hard on that, working very, very hard on that. No, we're working on the first show of the year. Will be January 6th, 7th, 8th at Binghamton Kitchener, our annual 20th annual Winter Psychic Fair there. And then the first weekend of February, we go with our Niagara Winter Psychic Festival. So those will be our two biggies in the new year. And, of course, we're always working on different things, for that. Again, one of the things I'm going to do, and again, this is thanks to you, I say it publicly, getting that book out, getting it out.
Well, I will be first in line to get this book.
You started off with talking about gratitude. This is gratitude.
Stan, it has been such a pleasure to have you on our show. And once again, we've had Stan Mallow on, just an incredible background of paranormal and entertainment and just incredible. And if you'd like to know more about Stan, please visit him at www.paranormalniagara.com, which is his TV show that is on Kojiko. Now, can people see this on the Internet for those of our listeners who are, like, on the other side of the world, like Australia?
Oh, well, I love that. They're working on it now, but there's all sorts of rules with copyright laws and things like that. And, in fact, my website is still Paranormal Niagara, but now they changed the show to the Paranormal Show because they want to get distributorship, you know, more places. Of course, a lot of people, well, friends, happily, a lot of people are calling up people who are calling up people and saying it's going to be in our neck of the woods. So maybe there's enough demand for it. Sure.
What a fantastic news. And the other site that you can visit Stan at is e-psychic.com. Stan, thank you once again for sharing your incredible life history with us and your story, and also to thank you so much for, I'll never forget that day when I met you and how you've become also to such an integral part of my life. I'm so grateful, and thank you so much for coming on our show.
And I thank you, Charlotte. It was an absolute pleasure being on air with you.
Well, we are, again, thank you all for joining us today. We've had such an incredible discussion with Stan Mallow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for our next show, which will be on December 18th, and it will be, our guest will be Amora Kuan Yin. She's one of my favorite authors. She wrote the Palladian workbook, The Awakening of the Divine Ka, and we're going to have a special activation in honor of 12-12-12, and of course the winter solstice of 2012. I am so looking forward to this, and I really hope that you join us. And once again, we thank you so much, Stan, for being with us. And we're wishing you all magical days full of cosmic ecstasy. And of course, we can't forget the nights. And aloha blessings to all of you.